Blog Talk Radio.
Is computer buffering? What's going on, people? It's your man. Oh, shit, the fucking mic drop. My bad if that was on your ear. It's your man, Beach Bum Gun, live on the off-ramp, 420. That's DJ C. Siren coughing in the background. Welcome to 420. Welcome to the off-ramp, April 20, 2023. I have no idea what episode this is, but it's a lot. It's been a couple of years. Welcome to the off-ramp, a show for the people, by the people, that embody the people. Show where me and my folks get together, rap about the week's mathematics, see what's popping in these streets, see how life is treating you. I'll tell you how life is treating me. You can tell me what you're frustrated about, what you care about, what you love, what you dislike, things that made you smile this week, things that made you laugh this week, things that made you cry this week, things that made you angry this week. That's what the off-ramp is here for. That's what the off-ramp represents. You can feel free to call in 929-477-3975 and just let us know how your week's been. We do this every week, 9 p.m. Eastern. We get together, try to have a good conversation on topics that has hit America. And even foreign topics, if that's what you want to discuss. I like to tell you all about, you know, my personal life. I think this is a form of therapy where, you know, I can kind of get out some of the frustrations that I've had in my life. And, you know, kind of joke about it. Joke, laugh. That's how I deal with my traumas. Jokes, laugh. You talking about the Sixers game? DJ C. Simon's playing to the Sixers game because we just tied it up. Well, they just tied it up. Or, you know, it's a game of runs, baby. So on that note, feel free to call in on the Joel Embiid's hurt. Feel free to call in on the off-ramp. Again, 929-477-3975. You can hit us up. Hit us up on all social medias. We on Twitch now. Shout out to all my Twitch followers. I don't think I have one. No, I think my baby sister follows me. I think my mother follows me. I don't even think DJ C. Siren follows me.
I'm not on Twitch.
Oh, DJ C. Siren's not on Twitch. She old. It's kind of new. I don't even know how to work the camera. Like, the camera just shows my computer.
I thought Daphne followed me.
What's your nephew? Yeah. Shout out to my nephew. He follows us. So I think I'm up to 4. So let's try to get that up. Goal next week is to get up to 6. This is a slow burn show. We've been slow burning for about 7 years. But, you know, about 10 years. But we enjoy it. We don't do this for the streams. We don't do this for the likes. We don't do this for... So we do this because I thoroughly enjoy talking to people and just seeing what's going on in their lives, and I feel I can learn from all y'all. So with that note, let's get right to the show. Got the lovely, the sexy, the tired DJ C. Siren in the building. DJ C. Siren, welcome to the off-ramp. How you doing tonight?
Good evening. Doing good. Welcome.
Good to have you on the show, as always.
I was on a real radio show today.
Oh, a real radio show? That's how you do the show? Kind of fucked up. Should we play it for the people?
No. Well, maybe.
Very woman centric, very feminist. There's a lot of gay people on that show. Shout out to the gays.
What?
I seen the picture of that radio show lady. She's definitely. She had a fade. That means you're gay.
No.
That don't mean you're gay no more? Uh-uh. Those things have changed?
Yeah.
No. I mean, but yeah. So, DJ Cesari, you want to tell the people what she was on the radio about today? DJ Cesari called in. She got live on the radio.
Local radio, national public radio station, our local affiliate.
NPR?
W-K-Y-S.
In Cincinnati? W-K-Y-S in Cincinnati?
Just one of our weekly shows that has topics that are geared towards the black community and topics that... not just black people call in, but it's just, you know, benefit the black community and black people. So today's topic was about natural hair and the laws that are being passed in some areas, the Crown Act, where you cannot be discriminated against due to the way you wear your hair, which has happened. So it was just kind of there's a I don't know if it's a think tank or basically it's called the Perception Institute, and they have done research on black hair, what people think it means, and well, wearing your hair natural, how, you know, does that impede or make people think you are impact you negatively in the workplace and
people
and,
judge you because of your hairstyle.
Right.
It's coded language for why don't white people like cornrows?
Basically.
It's because of menace to society. And boys in the hood. We did it to ourselves.
No, it's been going on.
It's definitely jail culture.
No. I mean.
But do you want to tell the people what? We can have that discussion on black hair. That's a good discussion we thought. But do you want to. Tell everybody what you said before I get to Weezy.
Briefly, just working as a professional, it is something that you think about when you work with the public or when you work with, others and, you know, how you present yourself. I've had discussions with it with, friends and I think I don't care as much and it hasn't really affected me like that, but I am aware of how I am perceived when I wear my hair a certain way.
Do you think that's an imagined perception?
No. It would be imagined if we haven't had tons of information and data and people being fired. And
I'm talking about you.
Me? No, because you still get the – and this is kind of one of the concepts. They're looking at it.
Okay, well, hold on. This is a deep topic. We're going to get into it, but let me welcome Weezy in the building. Weezy got black kids and black daughters, so I want to get him in on the topic and see what his opinion is. Weezy, welcome to the Off-Ramp. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. How's everybody doing tonight? Thank you for having me on the show. Repeat the actual question. I do have a comment on this, but I want to make sure I stay on topic. So what was the actual question again?
Well, it wasn't really a question, DJ Cesari, and I was telling you to keep your thoughts, because I'm coming right back to you. I was just welcoming Weezy into the show. But Weezy, there wasn't an actual question yet.
Okay, let me get on it. So I agree that it's interesting the way females have to be aware of how they wear their hair in a professional setting. We've had talks about this at work, being able to bring your authentic self to work and, you know, wear your hair the way you want it. As I look at my daughters and raising girls, it's interesting. I look at things like there's a black scientist who's highly involved in STEM, obviously, for children, and she makes it a point to wear her hair and naturally black ways to show that, hey, you can be a doctor or a scientist and have, you know, braids and have, you know, a wig, whatever y'all wear. I don't know. I'm bald. But anyway, it is, I think that is something that has to be thought about. And it's not just perception or somebody thinking that, you know, overthinking it about themselves. I think 100% that's something that Black women have to deal with and will continue to have to deal with. So I'm glad that topic came up.
DJ, what you got? I mean, I just wanted to welcome Weezy into the topic because I know he has thoughts on him.
And I'll make fun of brother Weezy, but not just females, but males also, because... That's a running joke. That's nothing to do with you, Brother Weezy.
I hear you.
Also, guys, I mean, that was a conversation in pharmacy school about one of my colleagues. He wanted to start dreads. And he's Jamaican. He wanted to start dreads.
Happy 420.
And it was a consensus to say, hey, go ahead and get that, get your internship first before you start growing your hair out. Because the second you start doing that, that's going to hurt your chances of either an internship or an entry, you know, or a position. And it's kind of the same thought. And I was saying to Beach Bum Gun, and it was actually a topic today on one of our local radio shows that I called into. So, which was the highlight of the day, besides being here on off-ramp.
No, don't bullshit now. You said I wasn't even a real radio show.
But, and also, just about,
just about wearing your hair naturally. So
because
I,
when it's straight, I've had comments. I've had comments.
Like what?
I like your hair better that way.
Who says that?
White people.
But you don't get the white people that say, ooh, let me touch your hair when it's curly and afro-ish?
I might have had that in the past, not recently. But I think that's because maybe the...
You have a resting bitch face?
No. Maybe the word has gotten out, like, let's not do that it much anymore. Maybe when I was younger, but I haven't. I can't recall anyone saying, oh, I want to touch it. Or I have had it happen. But they asked. They didn't just go and try and touch my hair. And I did not take it offensively. But, it's always the comments, or if you change your hair or people don't recognize you because, your hair is different, or, you know, I'm wearing it, you know, one way or another. And it's just kind of like the comment on the show was kind of like, you know, if I wear my hair a lot of different ways, which the speaker was, she did, or the host or the guest did say she wore her hair a lot of different ways, and she got the, you know, grab of a ponytail. Oh, is that real? Or the, yeah.
Where do these people have it? This stuff don't happen. Like, who's grabbing your hair?
Or rub her head and say that's for luck.
Rub her head for luck? Who gets good luck from black people?
The foundation she's with is out of Kentucky, so...
What white people have ever rubbed anything black and said, that's for good luck? Leprechauns I get, so Irish people I can understand why y'all be offended.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I've never heard of anything black saying good luck.
Well, I've heard of rubbing people's head, like, yeah. Anyway.
Maybe in voodoo.
But they were like, you know, for white women, if they change their hairstyle or it's longer or it's a different style, the assumption isn't, oh, is that real? You know, it's already assumed it's hers, and they wear extensions and wigs and things.
But that's a difference. We can get to that.
But I'm just saying it's not made up. There's a whole bunch of stuff surrounding that.
But okay. Okay.
But people have been fired because of.
Not saying that you're wrong. Because. I haven't studied this. I've been a victim of it. I'm sorry. Weezy will tell you, you know, we all grew our hair out in college, but we knew when it was time to get a job, once we were done college, we had to cut it off. So I've done it too. I'm just using this trying to ask, are you sure we're not putting that on ourselves? Because there's had to be people who've been hired who've had cornrows before. There had to be people who've been hired who've had dreadlocks before. I mean, Stevie Wonder has had dreadlocks since 1968.
He's in the music industry.
His dreadlocks are in the back of his head. Okay,
he's not being hired by
I wanted to make a joke.
I
wanted to make a joke on Stevie Wonder's dreadlocks.
Yeah.
But
it's really about the discrimination. It's really about making sure that you're not being discriminated because of that. And if you do discriminate because of that, because they're still unprofessional. You look unprofessional. You look unkept. If you come in with an afro.
Do they know how long it takes to get this hair done?
I know, right?
And the reason why I ask this. And Weezy, I'm going to come to you. So DJ T-Sign, I know you're passionate about the topic, but I'm gonna let Weezy jump in. The reason why I ask is because have you ever heard, we all know white people. We're all cool. We all love white people. We don't love all white people, but we have white people in our lives that we love. We're not a racist group. Have you ever, I'm coming to you, Weezy. You ain't got to text me. I'm coming to you. It's only us right now. Have you ever met a white person who owned a company and said, I can't hire them because they got cornrows? But go ahead, Weezy. Say your comment. Jump on it. Weezy, you're off mute. You can always jump in.
Yeah, I don't like doing that. It's your show, Beach Run Guns. But anyway, I think one point that y'all – can you hear me?
Yeah, I said it's an hour show.
Yeah, I got you. So one thing that you forget is how long it does take to grow out. Now, if you come in with, with dreads or whatever you got going on, Gunning, but you look good. About, 2 years ago when you was just starting that out, man, I'm not hiring you. You're trying to get your dreads started. That's a whole process, man. Take that somewhere else. But, once you got it situated, then it's like, oh, you've got established hairdo. Okay, that's fine. Whatever. But, for people trying to grow it out or more so for females who change their hair every damn week, ain't nothing wrong with that, but it becomes more of a topic because it's always something new. You know what I mean? So that's what I'll say to that.
Okay. It's different for men and women. I think women get a little bit more leeway just because the topic of women hair, whether you're white, black, or Jewish, is very sensitive. But the only reason why I question this, and again, I'm not taking white people's side, so please don't kill me, black people. But white people, I'm not putting this blame on you because I just don't know. So my question is, the Jews got hair just like us. They've been hired with afros. Is it more, I guess my question is this. Is it more hair or the color of our skin?
Yeah, it's more the color of our skin.
So it really has nothing to do with the hair because Jesus had an afro.
No, it's not.
Who wouldn't hire Jesus?
It's not about the hair.
The Jews? You got to let me finish my joke.
Well, it's stepping on the joke. Go ahead.
No, it is just another way. It is just a form of being.
You can use it as an excuse, but the real problem is the color of the skin. It ain't the hair.
Yeah.
No, it's both. It's the color of your skin. So because of the color of your skin, you have to come in with an established, hairdo or situation. You can't be black and talk about, I'm just starting to grow my hair out and I got like half a fro where you can't lock it up or can't cornrow it yet. You can't do that.
But see,
it's a bit of both.
I'm specifically speaking about the hair because the white people love cornrows. You ever see them when they go to the islands? They run right to get cornrows.
They sure do, and they look terrible.
You ever see the Kardashians? They love them. It ain't the hairstyle.
Madonna.
We just use the hairstyle as an excuse. I feel like what's happening is black people know, especially in the the 80s and prior, that our skin was a hindrance. So we had to make our appearance be as common as possible, because we knew our skin was really the determining factor. So I think now that life has progressed, I don't think white people are nearly as bad as they were in the 60s and 50s and 70s. I think we still hold on to the fact of we have to look as close to clean shaven and white as possible because the color of our skin. Whereas, honestly, I think white people understand. If you look at all the kids nowadays, all the kids want to grow their hair out. Like, I told the story yesterday. My son got box braids. He's always wanted them. He really never had his hair long enough to have them. He had a little cornrow hair there. He had the baby cornrows that went to the back of the middle of his forehead. But his hair got long enough where he got box braids, so he got them. And then I was talking to the lady who was doing his hair yesterday, and it's basically, I forgot what I was talking about.
Kids doing hair?
Braids.
So, yeah, these kids embrace having long hair. So when I was a kid, when I was my son's age, and I see, you know, Allen Iverson with cornrows, Dr. J was huge in our house, and he had this big afro, and I really wanted a big afro. Like, I always envisioned myself driving a convertible with a big afro and it flowing in the wind. It never worked out. I got the convertible. By the time I got the convertible, I got dreadlocks, so I can't have my hair flowing in the wind. But I always wanted long hair as a kid. I don't know if that's the Leo in me or not, but my dad used to call me a faggot for wanting long hair. And then when I wanted to get earrings, he said, "So you want long hair and earrings? You a faggot." That's how my father talked to me. Now, he loved me. I know my dad loved me. Like, this isn't one of those things where my dad, yes, he was being ignorant towards gay people. Yes, he was being ignorant towards, you know, just black culture of hair. But my dad was raised in an era where you had to act and be a certain type of way if you wanted a job. My dad still wore tidy whities up until he died, because he was that basic of, this is the standard. Now, it's funny because he could never keep a job. He may have had about 45 jobs. But God rest his soul, my dad's dead, so love him to death. But, you know, you see these things, it's like, oh, it's because he's from a time where his parents had to go through civil rights, and they taught him, yeah, you have to appear a certain way if you want to be successful. Are we past that 100%? Probably not. But we're a long ways away from civil rights. White people know black people have hair. No one's going to not hire you if you have an afro. Do you think that, DJ C-Sire, you think that if you got your doctorate, your real name is doctor, and I'm not going to say your real name. You earn that. You pay for that at a private, top-notch HBCU. You think because you have an afro, somebody ain't going to hire you? You really think that? And I'm asking because I don't know, we're just having a conversation. But with the accolades you have and the studies that you did and the hard work that you maintain, you think someone's not going to hire you just because you have an afro? Honestly. You got to talk to them.
I'm not sure. I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
That's how you feel.
I would say yes.
You say yes.
You'd be surprised. Absolutely. You'd be surprised. And if you don't have a DE&I diversity person involved in your hiring process, you would be shocked to see, you know, how these hiring decisions are being made and who they're being made by. It is literally unfair. I've been on interviews and, you know, we'll hire or we'll not hire somebody and be like, yeah, they're good, but, I just don't like the way they talk. Like, their accent is just kind of funky. it which is like, wait, what? Can you do that? I don't know, but it happens, you know? It'll be like, you know, we're in technology, so we'll hire a lot of people from India and Africa or interview a lot of them. And it's like, oh, no, I didn't like the way that person talked. They probably wouldn't be a good culture fit. Nothing on appearance just yet, but I believe that it could subconsciously be there, especially for black women.
Now, you work for a private corporation. I work for a public government institution. I've been on hiring committees, and, you know, I've been on hiring committees because I was a black male. And there's not a lot of black males in accounting, especially government accounting. It's usually old white women. And honestly, old black women. Like, there's a lot of black women in accounting. So I've seen those type of comments because they wanted to hire certain people. But if you've seen those comments, I can't accuse you of lying. If you've seen those comments of, you know, they wouldn't be a good fit culturally, I would want to know, well, what culture do we have? Or were they just saying that as an excuse to hire someone they know? Because I've seen someone say that, oh, I just don't think they would be a good fit simply because they wanted the boss's daughter to get hired. Like, I've seen that. Like, I've seen somebody who was qualified for the job, would be a great fit, but they said, I don't think they would be a good fit here just because the boss's daughter was also interviewing for the job and they wanted to hire the boss's daughter.
No, I'll jump in there. If there's somebody who wants to get hired, like I'll say this, as a hiring manager, hiring is hard and it takes a long time. So usually we're shutting down these people, you know, with no backup. And, you know, if there's a person we have in mind that wants to get hired, then that's almost easier. It's like, okay, we just won't interview anybody except the person that wants to get hired. And it's their job to mess it up. Basically, if they mess up the interview, then that's the problem. Otherwise, they'll get the job. But otherwise, you know, we'll be hurting for people looking around and see somebody who with a heavy African accent or heavy Indian accent and pass on them.
But see, that's surprising because if you're in technology, you know, Africans, well, I don't know about Africans. I know they be mining for the technology. I don't know. I mean, I guess they do be sending those emails trying to get money out of you. Shout out to my Africans. See, I told you, I'm not racist. I'll make fun of everybody. I'll make fun of everybody. White people, Jews, Irish, Africans, y'all can get it. Americans? But I would think that an Indian accent wouldn't bother you because you're in technology, yo. The Indians be
right,
you know, they've
but
been,
we're in technology, so we're supporting our business users who are traders, right? You know, your white finance bros, and you've got to interact with them as well as other developers. So it's really about, okay, if we bring this person in, can we put them in front of a portfolio manager or a trader and have that be a good interaction? If we can't do that, then it's not worth it. And, you know, so that's something that we do have to look at.
Okay, we're having a little bit of technical difficulties. My computer froze up, so I'm hoping that the show right now looks like it's still running pretty smooth. I only thought Wheezy was on. I didn't pay attention to the time and realized that the computer screen has froze up, so I don't know if the Twitch stream is down. We are opening up another computer to try to log in to see if we can get everybody on. I know my man New York's on, so just bear with us for a second while we have this conversation, while we get another computer set up and get everybody else that's called in. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty interesting how people view hiring. And, you know, I know we got off the hair. I mean, that's the good thing about, I think that's why a lot of black males, I guess black women, see, aren't you proud of me, DJ C. Siren? I didn't say females. Here, use that plug over here. I know you just got down. You can get down on your knees later on tonight. Ah, but I'm bum. But I think that's why we gravitate to sports, because it's the one arena where no one cares about your hair. Now, some coaches do care about your hair. We can talk about the examples of, you know, coaches who say, hey, you have to have this. They run their programs like military, and you got to have a shortcut. Yeah, the Yankees, perfect example. You can't have facial hair. It's one of the most ridiculous things ever, but they want their athletes all to be clean shaven. It doesn't matter if they're on steroids and cheating, or if they're racist like Ty Cobb. They just don't want them to have facial hair, which is a little creepy because you want them to look like little boys. But, you know,
why would you even want to control what grown people do with their grooming?
But anybody who's paying you a check, who's probably amassed that amount of money, is probably used to having control. And they probably have an idea of how their organization should look. Hence why probably black women and some black men have a hard time in companies, because these companies and people who are hiring them have an idea of what black people should look like. And when we don't fit that mold, they don't hire us because they're not worried about our credentials. I imagine that in the 70s and 60s. I don't really imagine that now, only because the wealth gap has gotten so big. I imagine that white people don't matter what your hair look like. If you're a white millionaire or billionaire with a company, if you're Elon Musk and you just fired 95% of Twitter, if there's a black dude with dreads who can get Twitter up and running, you ain't going to care. You ain't going to care what he look like. I don't think.
Let me step in, Beach Mom.
Go ahead, Weezy, and talk for you. And hold on, let me get DJ C. Siren in. Oh, DJ C, you ready to go eat? You got to go poop. You got to go pee.
I can't make my comment. Right. She's about to take a poop, and I can't even make the comment.
Well, I just didn't want to ignore her. I gotta get the site running up on the other computer because I don't have an Indian here.
I call those your problems.
Go ahead.
Two things. It's first of all, it's 40%, not 95%. He fired 40% of the company. That's neither here nor there. But I forgot my topic. He fired 40%. But crazy story I wanted to tell you. We've not hired. And DJ C. Siren is going to get pissed at this, but we will pass up on hiring a female if they're too good looking, because it's technology, it's 90% male, and it leads to HR issues. When I tell you, you would be surprised what goes into hiring decisions. You would be surprised. And when I say it goes into hiring decisions, it's not like we all sit in the room and make this comment. It happens like instantly. Like, you'll be on a call, you know, the little interview call, and the person who interviews you, they'll just talk to one other person, and then that's it, scrapped. What happened? Oh, well, we passed on that one. We've got another one lined up, and that's all it is. So those initial calls, where you have those first meetings, you know, they say, you know, it's first impressions. That a lot of it is driven based off of that. And, yeah, we've had to do that. Not had to do it. I'm not going to say I would be the reason that there'd be an HR case, but, you know, it is 95% men. So we take that into consideration.
Wow. That is absolutely crazy. It's weird that I'm going to get y'all in here in a second. I just, again, we had some technical difficulties. So bear with me. But that's crazy that a field full of men wouldn't hire a good-looking woman. Hey, I got my man New York, New York in the building. New York, New York, please let me know if you can get on. Give me a test these 1, 2, 3. You ain't here in New York, New York?
Testies.
Yo, 1, 2, 1, 2. Am I in here?
Yeah, you good, you good. Hey, and before you talk, New York, I just want to welcome my cousin Jack. Jack, welcome to the building. Now that I know there's work and I can welcome you in, Jack, welcome to the off-ramp. How you doing tonight? Sorry to keep you on hold so long.
Pretty good, man. Pretty good.
All right, New York, New York. Everybody's off mute. Watch your background noise. Again, New York, New York, I apologize, my brother, for having you on mute too long. Technical difficulties. New York, New York, what you got on the subject, my brother?
Look, I don't even know what the subject is, but I've been listening for a minute, so I'm just going to hop right into the points that I asked. Look, I've been a manager. I did my part. I hired a black woman, so I did my part. I did my part. Second, I want to take it back to, what's it called? Yeah, I don't understand why like companies want to control why people, what people can do with they hair, their facial hair. Because I remember I worked at Safeway one time. Safeway was like, what, my second job? I worked at Safeway. They said that the requirement was that I couldn't have no facial hair. And I was a cart pusher. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Why can't I have facial hair? I'm a cart pusher. I don't do anything. Why I got to remove my facial hair? Why I got to cut? My mustache is fine, but why I got to shave the chin strap, you know what I mean, my beard and all that, just to be a car pusher? Y'all, like, y'all bugging. I mean, I did it for the first time, like, after I got hired. I did it, you know what I mean? Because, yeah, I needed that money. I ain't going to be afraid to say that. I needed that money, but as soon as I got comfortable, guess what? Nah, I'm not cutting it no more. You feel me? You want to terminate me because of that? Do that. But, nah, I stayed there and worked there. I just thought, I wouldn't do that. But, I came on late on the topic, so I can't even, what's it called, talk about the other points that was made.
Well, we're just talking about in general hair and how it affects, you know, just job opportunities. DJ C. Siren was on a radio show this morning and talked about her struggles as a professional and how to wear her hair so she feels accepted. And I question if this was something that was ingrained in her from stories of yesteryear, or if this was in fact something that she still had to worry about, simply because she's, look, I try not to brag. My wife is extremely educated. She's well-informed. She's accomplished a lot. I don't think someone's going to not hire her because she has an afro, because she got too much other shit going on. So I'm wondering if this is one of those black things that we put on ourselves because of what our grandparents went through, or if this is a real thing. So that's why I had Weezy talk about, because he has black women children. See, that don't even sound right. That's why I say female. Because he ain't got black women children, black girl. Well, what's wrong with female? They got the same chromosome. Anyway, we'll have that discussion up there. Jack, you got anything on the subject? You're black, but you're not a female, but you might have a...
I mean, when I had dreads for the first time, because I was like, all the kids, all the NBA players, like, I wanted dreads. So once I got them, I had my uncle and my aunt. They was like, you got a fucking mop on your head. And I was like, yo, that's not cool. That's not what I want to hear. Like, I like my dreads, and people like them too, but you guys are like... I don't know. I want to call them the haters, but, like, damn. That shit, I mean, I wasn't rocking with it.
Nah, you call them haters. We love them, but you call them haters. But, see, those were your uncles. They come from a different era.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where they look at that as jail styles, because you couldn't get haircuts in jail back then. So you had to get your hair braided by another dude, right? Because they wouldn't give the info. Go ahead. Who's that, Blur? Weezy? Or was that Jack? I didn't want to cut y'all off.
I was just laughing.
You know what I mean? But go ahead, Jack.
No, I was just laughing.
But, yeah, I mean, so they come from a different era. Again, y'all joined the conversation late when I wanted to grow long hair in high school, and I don't mean this reiterizing this word or restating this word. I guess reiterizing is terrible. See, that's why they didn't want to hire me. It ain't because I got dreads. I'm a little bit ignorant Negro. But I don't want to keep reemphasizing words. Is my father, the person that loved me the most, was calling me a faggot because he was from a different era. So me having long hair meant something different to him than me when I saw Allen Iverson, a multimillionaire from Hampton, Virginia, make a splash in Georgetown. Now, he didn't have the cornrows in Georgetown, but he started growing this because, again, John Thompson, older coach, you had to look a certain way to play a certain way. But when he had the cornrows in playing for the Sixers, being an MVP, that's who I wanted to be like. So, I don't know, maybe sports is my equalizer. Well, I say, you know, hair shouldn't really be that big of a deal. But I admitted when I first got a job at my university, when I first got a job at corporate, I had a fade. I got the job and started growing my hair out. They said, oh, you growing your hair out? Yeah, because in my head I'm like, yeah, I dare you to fire me for having cornrows. Because I want y'all to fire me. I want one of y'all to call me a nigga because I'm a fall out. You know what I mean? I'm going to claim all types of mental stuff so that I ain't got to work again. But, of course, none of them would. And I already established that I was a good worker, so they didn't care about my hair now. But when I went from private to government, I cut my hair off for the interview, got hired, started growing my hair out. So I'm a victim of it, too, because I feel like I need to be perceived a certain way. But I don't know if that's a self-inflicting thing or not. That's where I'm struggling. Go ahead, DJ Susan.
Just to take it back, and I kind of threw the male hairstyles into the foray, but to bring it back to black women.
Females.
It's all black.
Oh, we got Doc in the building. Go ahead. I'm excited. One of my lovely sister Docs in the building.
To bring it back to black women, It's not about I want to wear dreads. It's not even about braids or a style that is deemed, you know, provocative. It's growing your hair with the way it looks coming out of your scalp and not straightening it or not blow drying it or not putting heat to it or not putting chemical to it is being looked at that way.
But is it other people looking at it, or is it just you being self-conscious at the
No,
moment?
These are the people that are judging, and like I said, this
but
was
who
research.
Has ever said anything to you? I want to know
personally.
I understand. I understand that it's research. Doc has. I'm gonna come to you, or Doc maybe I'm gonna come to you in a second. But I just want to know personally from your life growing up in the South around a bunch of white people.
Yeah.
Going to a private school in the East with a bunch of black people, and then being in the corporate world for a Fortune 500 company. Has anybody ever said anything about your hair?
Nope.
That makes me think it's just a black
No. This is one person.
I know. That's why we're on the conversation, because I want to know if anybody that happened to.
But it's coming. It's not made up. It's
okay,
not
last quick question, and I don't mean to cut you off, because I just want to get the doc made, because I know she won't talk about this. But last question, you have a son. You have a husband with long hair. You have a son who loves having hair and is now growing hair out. Are you worried about how people judge him because of his hair?
I think you're afforded such luxuries when you're a child.
And we got money. You don't care what the white people say about him.
So,
we good.
I feel like once his hair started growing out, I feel like the teachers did start saying he's acting out. I wondered if that was any correlation. It could have been a coincidence, and I've just, you know, could have made that up, that connection up.
Yeah, we got the only straight-A student who gets in trouble every other month.
But when
it reminds him of myself.
When his hair was short and, you know,
well,
he was fine. The second he had started growing his hair out and was, you know, got the little, you know, I don't know what you call it, his little curl, you know, whatever. And now, and then Brave, then they looking at him all crazy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He's yelling. He just started yelling all of a sudden. So, I don't know.
Yeah, they did say he's yelling. Like, I was like, man, shut up, teacher. Hey, we got Doc Navy in the building. Doc Navy is another doc. Look at all these black doctors. Why are y'all worried about y'all hair? Y'all got all these accolades. You better tell these people to suck y'all dick. But we got my lovely sister, Doc Navy, in the building. Doc Navy, welcome back to the offering. Glad to have you.
Hey, sorry I'm late. I can't necessarily speak on the hair product or the hairstyle thing directly. I could definitely speak on my child being a little heavier handed, I was told, than others, and that being a issue. And I can speak on others around me. Like I knew a guy who had a nice little beard growing, and he was told that he needed to trim it down, to cut it off, to be able to socialize with those white people who were going to invest into his organization.
Mm.
So, yeah, I mean, I know it's out there, and I know the military had a big issue around women and their hair and how they wore it. I mean, yeah.
Wow. So I know the military does have its rules on hair and all that stuff. Did they ever give y'all a reason why? And Jack, you're in the Navy. I gotta actually have you two talk offline so that Doc Navy, you can give my little cousin some advice as he starts his Navy career. But we'll have that conversation. That's a personal conversation between loved ones. But did they ever tell y'all why they wanted y'all hair? And Doc Navy, I'll go to you first. Did Navy ever say anything about what the reasoning that your hair needs to be a certain way?
No, it's an unspoken rule. I mean, I'm going to just say the presumption is uniformity. You know, they want everybody to look the same so nobody can distinguish from you or make you feel different because we're all wearing the same uniforms, even the women versus the men. You know, we have such a uniformity, right? But, and there was always this sensitivity when, you know, me as a higher up in the military, being able to, I guess you could say, reprimand or advise those younger or junior, what we call it, like the junior recruits, junior sailors, junior folks. The guys didn't want to touch it. I mean, there's an instruction. Everything has its own written documentation of how you're supposed to wear your hair, what is it supposed to look like. But the guys were sensitive to touch, you know, because they knew that they'd get a backlash from it. So it's kind of hard because it's like, well, what do you really do? Because you don't keep the same, how can I say this? Like, if you make a woman of color cut her hair, and that's not something that, you know, she would normally do or how, you know, just kind of like this box cut kind of thing. She can't just, you know, maybe she just can't wash and go like some of her counterparts can, if that makes sense. So it was more like just do what we tell you to do and we're not going to really explain why or work with you kind of thing. So.
Okay. But see, in that sense, even the white people can't have long hair, right?
They can't have what?
Or am I wrong in that? Even the white people can't have long hair. Or am I wrong in that? Like,
no,
it's not like
I mean,
a
they
dude
can have
can
long. No, they can have long hair. It's just that you got to pin it up. And, I mean, now, honestly, which is amazing to me, a few years after I got out, they now allow them, I guess it's more through COVID, they now allow them to wear ponytails, which is amazing to me. But, yeah, it was just
can
more
do-
that you had to have it. You, no.
Oh, men?
No. And now men cannot. No, but the women can. But the men cannot. And, of course, they're supposed to be clean shaved, that kind of thing, unless they actually have it. We call a no-shave chit, They're actually supposed to have permission to not shave. So, yeah, they're supposed to be clean cut, clean shaved.
Yeah, I never understood why the military had a problem with gay people when they wanted them all to look like the same.
Well, I mean, there's so much to that one. Go ahead, what?
Hold on, let me run to Jack real quick, because Jack's in the Navy, too. Jack, have you ran into any... Have you seen any issues when it comes to hair and all that stuff now that you're in the service?
Yeah, I was so upset when I had to cut off my dreads because I had to before I went to boot camp because they were gonna violate me. They already told me what was up, so I was like, whatever. And then coming out, it's like seeing females like dreadlocks and all this, and I'm like, yo, like. I would keep it in the regulations. Like, they got it. Like, I can't get my shit, like, that long. Like, what's the word? Like, I want to at least have dreads that little bit. Like, come on. And then you got some dudes, like, she said the no-shave shit. Some people just be finessing it. Like, you're supposed to have, like, razor bumps. But some people, you just got friends and you know people. So you can just get that no-shave shit every month to get renewed, and you don't even got a problem. You just don't want to shave. You're just lazy. So it's really just something I got to get used to now. But, you know, it's always something that I'm always annoyed about.
Okay. All right. Well, and I will say, I didn't realize that black hair would take us this long to have a discussion with myself for the last hour. But I do want to move it just quickly to the kids. So... And I want to bring Weezy back in this because Weezy, if I look on the call, Weezy's the only one with black daughters. Now, Weezy is in a good position because he has daughters and a son. So do you feel the difference in how your son's hair needs to be versus your daughter's, Weezy?
Yeah, with boys, it's getting I feel like they can do anything now. Like, I don't even know what half these kids have as their hairstyles, but it works for them, and it, you know, they're doing the thing. Girls, I feel like it's still hard on them. You know, my wife does both my daughter's hair, and it takes her, you know, 2 hours each kid. So she's almost got to do it on different nights, and she still has to take them to the barbershop or whatever it is, the saloon, and get it washed and straightened or whatever. And then she comes home and'll braid it for them. And they got to stop at the store to buy the extra hair to fill it in. So it's still a lot of work for females. For boys, I feel like they can do whatever they want. So that's where I think it is now.
Did you call it a saloon? Like, we at the OK Corral? ain't saloon a bar?
Yeah, what's the thing? I'm saying? DJ C Siren. What is it?
Salon.
You said it. You said Thanks. Salon. I said he just got proper English. Saloon is a salon. Mm-hmm.
You just added an extra O's. But yeah, it's interesting. I do worry about how we're going to end it like this. I can't believe we spent an hour on this. This is crazy. This isn't even one of the topics that we had to tell. DJ Cesar got on the radio show, and not this radio show. She got on a real radio show, in her words, and had a discussion about black women's hair with a host on NPR, and it took us a whole hour to discuss it. I do... Again, and I'm going to just reiterate this. I'll go around the room to make sure that we're done with this topic. I don't think anyone is going to judge my son on his hairstyle because of where he comes from and who his parents are. But I fully understand that could be my ignorance because I can't control how anyone else views him. I think it has more to do with his skin, if someone's going to judge him, more than his hair. Someone can use his hair as an excuse, but I think it's more about his skin if we really get down to it. But I'm hoping that in this day and age where kids have embraced growing their hair out, he won't have the same issues as I did or my parents did or my grandparents did with getting a job just because he has long hair. DJ C-Sire, I'm going to come to you last, actually, since you're the one who broached the topic. New York, New York, you got anything else before we move on? Damn, I can't.
I think I agree with you on that sentiment. Yeah, I mean, just growing up, you know, my pops did the same thing with me. Yeah, I mean, it's just like he grew up in a different era. He even had long hair himself, but me growing up, cause I always wanted to have long hair. Yeah, I mean, I listened to Bone Thugs and Harmony, shit like that. Of course, if you a little kid, you listen to Bone Thugs and Harmony. Of course, you want to grow out your head too, the braids and shit like that. And yeah, I mean, in the times and periods of my life where, yeah, hey, you going for a job interview? What you about to do with your hair? Or yeah, I mean, it's always been ultimatums. But now that I'm at the age right now, I don't give a fuck no more. I don't give a fuck no more. Like, my hair, I'm not cutting my hair no more. My accolades speak for itself. You want to pick me, if you don't want to pick me because of my hair, all right, cool. Like, this is the same thing that you said. Boom. Yeah, I'm going for everything. Mental, all that shit. I'm suing everybody. But other than that, yeah, that's my sentiments on the topic.
Okay. Okay. Jack, you got anything else on the black hair topic? Wow, what an amazing block.
Well, I don't think people nowadays judge people on their hair. I feel like maybe it's more of what they wear, and that's really all I got.
Okay. Doc Navy, you got anything?
I think it's both. I think it could be skin color, and I think it could be their hair. You know, the sadness of it is I feel like I'm just going to generalize and say those historical systems are feeling the possibility or being threatened to fall at this moment in time. So we're seeing all kinds of extremes, if that makes sense. Like, yes, it's skin color, but could it be skin color and the way their hair is? And it's amazing to me that the two congresspersons or representatives in Tennessee, like, you know, they're growing their afros back out. He's got long, one of them had long hair. So I feel like things are coming back around, and that's just another way for people who don't want a certain community to expand and grow to have something against them, to control them again, if that makes sense. I think that's what it all comes down to, is that they're feeling that their power is being threatened, and it's a way to control people. Well, we don't want you in corporate. We don't want you in professional settings with these type of hairstyles. And it's kind of my question is, who's making these rules up? And why are we still believing in them? Skin color included. Like, what's the deal? We still haven't figured out that we're human. And when you come across my table, we all bleed in the same color blood. So I think it is ignorance. I think it is still out there. And I don't know how it kind of got started tonight, but I can believe that you had a conversation for an hour about it, because it's still some ignorance around it. So that's
fine. Shout out to Doc. She had people shoot at her. She hired to shoot at her, and then she had to go and take the bullets out of her. I'd have let him die. Doc Navy different. She's a special kind of lady. We need more people like her. You shoot at me, yo, and you laying on my table, I'm going to let you die. Weezy, you got anything left on the topic?
Yeah, what Doc said was real smart right there. I agree. And not only is it easy to spend an hour on this topic, but it's well deserved. And corporate America, that's why everybody's starting to have these diversity, equity, inclusion teams, and they have to be included in the hiring process. They have to be included with a representative in each department. Otherwise, it's so easy to just go on for years with, you know, without the, you know, diversity of, you know, sex, gender, race, thought, you know, overall. I think this is a well-timed topic. But I will say, for people our age, it's probably done. So I think New York said it best when he said, hey, he hired someone of color and did his part. I think that's where we all needed to go, is make sure we do our part and try and get the next generation up. Good show, Beach Bum.
My bad. We got a whole nother hour. But I appreciate it. Hey, my bad for jumping in. Philly just got a big one against Brooklyn. DJ T-Sign, you brought this hair shit up, man. You want to, again, we're just ending this topic. We got a whole nother hour discussion. I'm hoping we have some fun and laugh and smile.
Just real quick, if you're interested, the organization where...
Tell them what radio show you was on.
So
you can listen to DJ C-Siren on a real radio show, since she doesn't consider this radio show real.
If you go to Another View with Barbara Hamlee.
The show is called Another View. You can't just say Another View. You got to add quotation marks. The show, if you go into wherever
Look,
you stream
the
podcast.
You told me to say it, so let me say
you're
it.
You fucking it up.
Well, you should have said it your damn self.
If you go to wherever you get your podcast, go search the show, Another View.
With Barbara Hamlee in today's episode 420 and about hair. So, and it's perception.org is the organization that is researching about explicit and implicit biases and how it impacts society. So,
hey, go listen to DJ C-Sign. Anything you want to discuss on the actual topic to close out? A black hair?
No.
All right.
We're done.
Let's move on. Yeah, you need to get that shit. Fucked up. I joke.
Look,
hey,
look, wait,
so,
wait. Before you go to the new, before you go to a new topic, right? We not going to de-minimize the show, whatever. I can't even name the word. I don't even know if that's the right word. But nah, this is a real show too, B. Talk your shit. This is a real show too, B.
Look, our friend, our co-host, DJ C-Siren, said at the beginning, you joined in late. She said, I was on a real radio show today. I was like, she said, not this, a real radio show. I said, oh, that's fucked up. Like, you're part of this.
Bichon Gunn is just petty. He's going to keep repeating my joke. It was my joke, and that was my jab, yes. Bichon Gunn is just petty enough. He's going to say it all night long just because that's just how he rolls.
I got a jab for you all night long. All right. So, next topic. I appreciate all y'all. We serious y'all out. It was a good topic, DJ C-Siren. Thank you. I didn't realize.
Thanks for everyone.
It fucks up my entire list that we want to discuss tonight. So now we got to blow through topics. And there's some serious shit that we got to discuss tonight. But my first question, just to get a little lighthearted in the room. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I'm sure we've all seen it. I know my cousin Jackie's a little younger. I'm not sure if he watched it like the rest of us watched it. Jeffrey the Butler. So I'm going to go around real quick. Do you know why he came to America, DJ C-Siren? Just yes or no?
He wasn't American?
He's from Britain.
Oh, he's British?
Oh my God.
I just thought he spoke proper.
New York. Do you know why Jeffrey the Butler from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air came to America? And you'll understand why I'm asking this.
Nah, so we talk about the old version, not the new version, right?
Well, he was on, yeah, the original. I ain't even seen the new version. I heard it's pretty good, though.
I don't know why.
Okay, Doc Navy, do you know?
No, I don't.
This is great, and you'll understand why. Wheezy, do you know why?
Nah, but I find this hilarious. Why?
Hold on, one more. Jack, Lil Cuz, do you know why Jeffrey, the butler from the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, moved to America? So, and the reason why I saw this is because an ultra marathon runner last week got in trouble. Was it the Boston Marathon she got in trouble with? No, it was somebody else. It was another ultra marathon. She got caught cheating. She came in third place, but she got caught because she ran off course and took a cab 4 miles.
Isn't that
got out the cab.
Didn't that happen on a
TV? Finish
what show did that happen?
The Fresh Prince of Bel Air.
I fell.
So, listen to me. Trust me on this. We're going to approach this real quick. I'm just giving y'all information tonight. So this ultramarathon runner took a cab, and the people who ran the ultramarathon realized that she had cheated because she had done her average pace for a total of 3 miles was 60 seconds, so 60 seconds per mile. So that cab was humming. That cab was going 60 miles an hour. So they pulled it up and looked at the cameras and realized that she took a cab. And it made me think, I said, hold on, I've seen this before. So I looked on YouTube, and I realized that the reason why Jeffrey the Butler from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air moved from England to America is because he was considered the shame of a nation. In the Olympics, he tried to run a marathon and couldn't and got in a cab and took a cab to the finish line and got out and ran through the line and won first place for Britain. And they caught him. An Asian man caught him, and they kicked him out of Britain because they figured out he cheated in a marathon. And I thought, this was amazing. The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air comes true. We got the Black Simpsons. You know, the Simpsons is always predicting the future? Will Smith got it. Will Smith had a rough couple of years.
I'm sorry to burst your bubble, but it was a Monk episode.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is before Monk.
No, I guess so, but...
But Monk had a murder.
Yeah, but they still...
Monk was a
way.
Great show.
Oh, yeah. Well, I watched it. I had to figure out who killed his wife. It was very uneventful. But, yeah, so that's why Jeffrey in The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air left England and came to America is because England shamed him. I just wanted to give y'all that tidbit information. If you got any comments, feel free to say anything now. Anybody got anything before we go to the next topic?
Look, I say this. If you could think about getting into a cab in the middle of a marathon race, yeah, that's the definition of real. Think smarter, not harder. So I applaud her for that.
I mean, it's funny how all this marathon stuff is coming up because they just released a Netflix documentary on the Boston Marathon. And why do y'all have taxis around marathons? Like, why are y'all even baiting? That's like putting crack in front of a crackhead. Why are you going to give them an easier way? Look, I ran a half marathon before. It ain't nothing like these ultra marathons, but it was 13.3 miles that I ran. And I'll never forget. I said I was going to do it. I set my mind to it. I did it. And my wonderful wife and my son, she was pushing my son in a carriage, in the little stroller at that point. And they gave us all, like, tickets to drink beer and have a party after the marathon. And she looked at me. She said, are we going to go to the 10 party? I said, take me home. Take me home and order a pizza. I was exhausted. So why would you have a taxi cab around a marathon? Like, you're doing nothing but baiting these people to cheat. You're putting crack in front of a crackhead and saying, don't take the crack. Disrespect. So I haven't got a chance to see the Boston Marathon doc on Netflix, but I heard it's pretty good. But that's all I got. Anybody got anything left before we go to the next topic? We got burned through these now. Going once, going twice. All right, cool. Next topic. Do y'all want to get into the situation? Y'all want to talk about these kids getting shot to death on these porches? I guess we got to have this conversation. We got some pretty intelligent people in here tonight. I mean, fuck it. Let's just talk about it. So Ralph Yarl was the first child. So... just in case y'all haven't heard the situation, it's been a couple. Ralph Yarl was a 16-year-old, and please forgive me if I don't have the article in front of me. I had it up earlier, but the computer froze, and I don't have it. But Ralph Yarl, I think, was a 16-year-old child, band student. His mother sent him to go pick up his sister, his little sister, or his twin brothers. Yeah, don't I mean triplet?
Twin brothers.
Anyway, he wanted to go pick up some kids.
not his twins, his brothers that are twins.
Oh, his brothers, so his younger brother. From a house, his phone was dead, so he didn't have the address. He went to the wrong house. He rang the doorbell. No one answered. He checked the door. I'm assuming just like any of us who's ever had to pick up kids at night, maybe they fell asleep. And the owner of the house shot him. Shot him 3 times. He hasn't died yet. He's in critical, if
they,
I believe.
They have released him.
Oh, he released him out for the second 3 shots? That boy better than 50 Cent. Bad joke. All right. Shot him 3 times and left him there. The guy who shot him didn't even call the cops. He had to crawl to a neighbor's house. He had to crawl to another person's house and ring the doorbell for them to call the cops. He left him there for dead. And all he was there, he just went to the wrong house. It sparked a conversation on guns in America, guns in the house, gun culture, what the rights are of humans and people on their property. There was another incident where a young lady in upstate New York, her boyfriend, and a couple other kids were trying to find a party. They drove down the wrong driveway. It's upstate New York. It's country. Drove down the wrong driveway. A dude saw all these strange cars coming down his driveway, started shooting off, killed the girl. There was another incident where a girl, man, I wish they didn't. There was another girl got shot. The girl in upstate New York,
story.
She was white. Oh, go ahead, Weezy.
It was, and this one is also close to home, not close to home geographically, but because it was athletes. It was like a car full of cheerleaders were coming from a high school game. Her friend was driving like a car full, and they were just driving the girl to her car, to her other car. So she got out, went to get in her car. Oh. It wasn't hers. It was a similar looking vehicle, and the guy was driving. She opened the door and tried to get in, and argument started. You know, dude got out of his car, walked over to, because the cheerleader got back in their car with her friends because she was scared, and dude starts letting off in that car, hits two of them, both of them in the hospital.
Yeah, yep, that was the other one I was thinking of. So it's been a, and these are all children. It's been a sad, you know, at first we thought we was going to get the whole black-white thing with Ralph Yarling gone because the man who shot him was the older white man, 80-year-old white man. But the chicks in upstate New York, it was white on white. The cheerleading incident that Weezy just discussed, wasn't that black and Spanish?
Yeah, Hispanic shooter.
Yeah. So we just ran the gamut. It's obviously just the guns. And
yeah, it's the gun culture.
He definitely got a black daddy. I'm a gun advocate. I've had lively discussion with my friends who are also gun advocates. So I just want to, I don't know how familiar you guys are with the story. That's a quick background. Kind of just want to get y'all thoughts, how y'all feel. Do you think this is a race issue? Again, let's, the offering's a free space. If you think this is, you know, these white people acting up again, feel free to say it, but just understand that there's white people on there. So if they come back at you, you know, they got free space for that. But just let me know what you feel. I think we all got kids except for Jack. Jack doesn't have any kids. New York, he doesn't have any kids that he claims anymore. So, you know, just let me know what y'all feel on the subject, how y'all feel. Jack, you're younger. You know, this is the kind of stuff that I was talking to you about, that I've discussed with you about just always being aware of your surroundings and understanding what's going on, because, you know, you're younger. You know, these kids were damn near your age. You know, they're just a couple of years younger than you. Did you pay attention to this? Because I know younger kids sometimes don't really pay attention to news. Did you hear about this? Did it affect you in any way?
Yeah, I mean, it's like blowing up on Instagram and like everything. So I already knew what was up. I don't know. At first, yeah, I definitely thought it was racism with the black kid and the white old guy. Like, he's old. Like my first thought is, yo, he probably thought he was some thug trying to rob his house. That's what I was thinking. But I mean, I don't think it's something to do with like, oh my God, we need to make stricter gun laws. Like, I don't think that needs to be a thing because it's still Second Amendment right. Like, we just gonna change the whole Constitution because shit going down. Like, I don't know, maybe better background checks, but I mean, really that doesn't help everything. So it's sad, like, thinking about it could be someone I know, but that's really all I got.
Okay, appreciate the honesty. Doc Navy, you got anything?
I do. I unfortunately have a lot on this. One, my thoughts are we're on the verge of a civil war here in the U.S. I think that there is a racial undertone to it. It doesn't mean that all, you know, is just white on black or vice versa, but I think that we're coming to a place where human beings here in the U.S. are just tripping. All of our, I think the fears are starting to come out, and because of the Second Amendment law, people are like, oh, I can take it in my own hands. I can do what I need to do. The Stand Your Ground law that came into place, the Zimmerman case, these type of things have allowed it where it's like people are starting to do their own thing. You know, they're believing that they can do justice for themselves and don't have to wait on the real system. And unfortunately, because the way history has made it, even in the last couple of years, people haven't been punished for it, right? George Zimmerman was not really punished for it, for killing Trayvon Martin, even after that. And, I mean, I guess you could say the three guys, I think, that were in Georgia that killed the runner, the black male who was running in the neighborhood, yeah, they got held to it. But there's just so much more to it. Unfortunately, I think, and also because of January 6th, I believe we're on the verge of a civil war. I want stricter gun laws, but at the same time, what does that mean? So everybody who has an AR, automatic rifle now, or automatic weapon at this point, if they put a stricter law or say that they ban them, what about those who already have them? Okay, like, what happens? Do they get to take them away? What does that look like? Do they get a heavier penalty if there's a ban put back on it? I feel like, again, maybe me coming from the military and what I've seen across the world, I mean, I've been on, what, 6 of the 7 continents, and I'm going to tell you, if you want to fight, you want to kill, go be in somebody's war. If you want to shoot your weapon, go be in somebody's war. Like, I mean, I'm sure Ukraine is recruiting. So go serve your time and be in the actual war zone and see how it is to have to have somebody shooting against you or shooting back at you. So, yeah. And my last thought is on the children. I mean, it's sad because just 5 years ago, my son is very young and he's barely, you know, a little bit over a toddler age. And I'm telling him, I looked at a police officer in uniform and I literally took pause. Like, do I tell him to go and look for a police officer if something happens or not? And I had to say no. And we just had this conversation the other day. There was a conversation around this young man getting shot. You just mentioned Ralph. And he's in the car with me, and we're listening to it. And I had to say, you can't – he really likes law enforcement. He likes guns. And I'm thinking, you can't go outside the house and pretend. You can't even pretend. I don't want your Nerf guns. I don't want your pretend, like, you know, make the finger. I was like, you got to be extra special, careful. And I think that that's sad because one of the things that came up in the media news at this point was just like, do we have to tell our black children, specifically black males, to basically wear very dull colors or just, you know, maybe bright colors and keep your hands to the side. I mean, don't drive unless it's in daylight. I mean, it's just so many things that are like, are you serious that I have to warn my children around trying to keep them safe, but realistically, is it? I mean, my kid is really scared about going to school because of the shooting in school.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a real topic. DJ Cesar, you got anything?
Yeah, just about what to do, kind of what Doc Navy said was, will it help to have more ramifications in terms of it? Like, not really talking about stricter gun laws, because I don't think, at least what I've heard in terms of what would be the things that would happen for stricter gun laws, wouldn't have kept guns out of these situations. I don't think any of these people are, you know, I don't know what, being 80 maybe, you can't have guns after 80. But, you know, I don't know.
They take people driver's license.
Yeah, but, you know, for using excessive force and you know, this assault, you know, assault and you know, blah, 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 that you should face some kind of, there has to be some ramification of you using your gun on someone when it was not necessary. So you're going to jail. And I think that's the only thing that's going to keep people from just shooting people on Netflix, because you're going to have to stop and think, is this going to ruin my life or not? If I'm not sure, if it makes you hopefully think a few extra seconds before you shoot someone in the head. And you just have to go to jail. And you're just going to have to be that great citizen that was just trying to defend themselves, but you couldn't figure out whether, if you can't figure out whether you're in danger or not, you can't figure out that a 16-year-old is not a grown man, then you get to send Tom in jail.
All right, Weezy.
Hello? Somebody got mute. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. You sure you want me to go? You sure you want to give me the floor?
Yeah, man. Let's go. Let's get it.
We got
New York, and Heckle and Jekyll. So you up first?
Okay. So I'll say this: there are millions of firearms in the United States. There's nothing any more laws or any less laws can do to stop the amount of guns that are currently out there. Even if you stop producing them today, there's still enough. So there's really only one logical answer. Either you find a way to get rid of all of the guns, including the police.
Go ahead, Weezy. I had to hear the heck of a talking.
Unless you find a way to get rid of all of the guns, including the police, then otherwise everybody's going to have them. And also, if you don't get that point, my other point is, if you also are against having a gun and against people having the right to defend themselves, yeah, people get crazy, but they have to, you know, people are going to jail for this stuff. The person who shot the cheerleaders, he's going to jail for, you know, murder and manslaughter. People are being held accountable. The police is a different matter, but just in terms of gun culture in general, if you know your little 17-year-old neighbor in Chicago, has a Glock 17 with a switch on it, you telling me that, oh, I'm anti-gun, so I'm just not going to carry anything? No way. My mother-in-law is anti-gun, or she, you know, just not about guns, and her dog got out and got into her neighbor's yard. Her neighbor came over with a pistol and threatened to shoot the dog. And I'm just thinking, okay, don't you wish you had a gun at that point? You know, like, there's millions of people with them. I'm not going to be the one without. And because we are lucky enough to have the Second Amendment, I don't have to join up, you know, to go fight a war just to be able to protect myself. But that doesn't answer the question, what you do about all the craziness that's going out there, you know, stop and frisk for, you know, for white people looking for the AR-15. That's a Michael Che joke from Saturday Night Live. But otherwise, I don't know what else to do, but you can't you can't take away people's guns. You can't talk about that because it won't work, and it, and that's not going to solve the problem. So I'll leave it at that. Otherwise, I'll just keep rambling.
I wish you'd have called me. You should have told me somebody ran up on Mama with a pistol. We could have ran over at the crib with all of our pistols and see how he felt about that. But that would be a discussion that we have after the show. New York.
One thing, you know, Mr. Trevor, you know, he's from Trinidad, so he's like, "Oh, it's fun. I had the machete."
That's a machete. Book. Go ahead, New York.
Nah, that's funny. Yeah, because the Caribbean definitely got those motherfucking machetes out there. I would say this, right? I hope homie make it. I really hope homie make it. That's really some. For him to actually get shot in the head twice, or was it three times? I don't know, but for him to be released to the, from the hospital and be back with his family is a blessing. I hope he make it. I've been in that situation a couple of times where, I've been out with my friends, but drinking too much, got lit too much, and my phone died, lost my friends, had to ring on somebody's doorbell to call somebody, can you call this person to pick me up and stuff like that. It's really just a sad situation. As far as gun control, like I don't know how you can control it at this point, because at the end of the day, I'm a gun advocate. I'm not going to get caught slipping. I don't want to be caught slipping. So, at the end of the day, I say this, right? I'm always going to keep a gun for protection. But if I ever feel the need to leave my house to go to a certain type of venue and I have to bring my gun, I'm not going to go at the end of the day. I'm just going to stay in the house because that's already harboring negative energy. I'm already predetermining that that's going to be negative energy. I do think that people within the gun culture or the people that have guns need to have discipline. It's not just about training you about having the gun that you can shoot all willy-nilly, but you need to have gun discipline or anything like that to know when your life is in danger and when you need to shoot. Somebody ringing your doorbell that is lost. Somebody is ringing your doorbell that is lost, and your automatic response is to grabbing a gun. Yes, you have the right to grab your gun when somebody's ringing your doorbell at the wee hours of the night. Yeah, you want to protect your family. But if this person doesn't mean no harm for you, or it's not meaning you're harmful for you, I don't think you have the right to shoot somebody like that. So I think gun owners need to, it's already incorporated in the training, the discipline of owning a gun, but it's solely on the individual to have that gun discipline and everything like that. But, that really is on the ownership of the person that has the gun. And it's a sad way to say it, but, yeah.
Okay. We got Heckle and Jekyll in the building. Heckle and Jekyll, welcome to the off-ramp. What y'all got on the rock, y'all?
Man, this topic is pretty heavy here, man. First thing, good evening to Jack, nephew, Jason, cuz, and everybody else. Good evening, everybody. I guess I'm a heckle and my buddy.
I'm Jekyll.
The topic happened down in Alabama recently where there was a Sweet 16 party. And I don't know if it hit the nation news, but it was sprayed with bullets, and there was about kids killed in there. And it was unknown who did it. And they're, like, going on 4 to 5 days trying to find out
who did it.
Who did it? They're starting to get some names now, but it was black-on-black crime.
Yep.
And one of the kids that was shot was a football player, and the coach is dealing with the conversation he had with that football player where he said, "Something, coach, if something ever happens to me, but will you take care of my mom and my family?" In his mind, he never knew that that was going to come to truth, that he had to deal with that. But it's a sad, sad world with the guns being readily available, where back in the day we used to have fist fights. You get your boys, I get my boys, and there'd be a circle, and everybody's going to be standing around there, and be two guys fighting, or two people fighting. Now it's getting weapons and hiding behind, pulling the trigger. There's no turning back from that. We're in trouble. You're right. The Civil War is coming. I have to learn how to carry a weapon with myself, and I find that awkward, but I need to learn how to do that.
Okay. You partner got anything? Yeah, I'm here in Atlanta, and we've experienced some of the same things. I've been carrying a long time. I'm over 70 years old, but I've been carrying quite a while. I grew up with guns, but it was always a responsibility, and I learned how to carry responsibly when I was younger. But like you're saying now, there are a lot of kids that are just starting to carry, that don't understand how to carry responsibly. They want to respond in kind to any type of violence. And what you're supposed to understand is it needs to be about survival. So unless you're in danger, you need to make sure that you're not exposed, you know, you're not pulling a weapon and making someone else feel uncomfortable.
Okay. Yeah, it's a heavy topic. I guess it's just one of those nights when we're going to have deep discussions. So my opinion on, I understand where a lot of you come from, where a lot of you are coming from. I disagree with some of y'all. I think the basic principle is, okay, if this is our Second Amendment right, if this is one of the foundations of America, we're not even going into the whole discussion about how black people weren't really part of the Constitution and weren't thought of as these rights. Why isn't gun safety, gun handling a mandatory course in middle school and high school for kids? If it's a right that all Americans have and it means so much to people, then why isn't more education on gun given to children? I think that the more you educate children, the more they'll understand how dangerous these weapons can be, but also how to use them. I disagree with Wheezy when he says, you know, more gun laws ain't going to solve it. I just think if you treat guns like you do cars, if you got to pay insurance for a gun, if it costs money for, you know, mandatory courses for guns, if you force people, if you say, yo, you have a right to bear arms, but you want to understand everything in your state that comes with carrying a gun and you got to pay for those courses, you'll get a lot less people carrying. Are you still going to have people who carry illegally? Absolutely. You still have people who drive without insurance. But the ratio starts. If you make carrying a gun a consistent liability like we do with owning a home, well, owning a home is an asset, but, you know, paying a power bill, paying an electric bill, then those that can afford it and those who are willing to make that financial sacrifice in our budget will be the ones with the guns, and those who barely, I mean, because if you think about buying a gun, it's a sunk cost. You walk into any store in Virginia, it's $300, you walk out with a gun. You ain't never got to worry about anything with that again. You ain't got to worry about maintenance.
There should be greater consequences for the misuse of a firearm. So the consequences, you understand the laws, and also understand the consequences. And those, you know, if you can afford that insurance, yeah, but you're still, there's a consequence that if you misuse it, you will be incarcerated.
Well, see, I don't want to focus on the consequence, right? So take Doc Mavey, take DJ C. Siren, take Weezy. They both, you know, this isn't disrespecting you, Heckle and Jekyll. I just don't know your actual educational credentials. But I know they have upper level.
Well, I'm pretty educated with the guns.
I just don't know personally. I'm naming those personally just because I know them personally. In order for them to maintain work in their industries, and, of course, the Heckle and Jekyll, you guys got those upper-level education, and you got to do it too, you have to take continuing education courses. Sometimes these are paid through for your job. Sometimes you have to pay for them yourself in order to maintain the license that you achieve when you acquire these high-level degrees. If you treat guns the same way, where you have to take continually education courses to maintain your CCW license, you start removing a lot of the pool of people out who's having guns. Again, well, there's still people who carry guns illegally? Absolutely. There's still people. They just had a whole story about a dude who in New York who was pretending to be a doctor. That was an amazing story. One day we got to have a long conversation about that. Yeah, it was a black teenager who was operating on people. And but he was prescribing people. But I think that if we treat guns more like a higher educational standard, we'll have less issues. That's just my opinion. DJ C. Siren, what you got?
That's a good idea. I mean, you know.
I'm full of fucking great ideas. I'm a genius.
A skill level. You just have to invest and learn about keeping, you know, safety and et cetera, et cetera. But, yeah, that's all I got.
We'll get to the Civil War in a minute. But, Jack, you got anything else you want to comment on the topic?
Well, I'm on a base, and I'm not in the best neighborhood. And me being on bases, they've never been, like, the best neighborhoods. We're not allowed to have firearms on base, but all my friends, me too, like, we don't feel safe, like, going out, like, having fun. Like, sometimes, we went to a college party the other night. Dude pulled up with two sticks in his pocket. Like, it was just cool. And I'm just like, yo, if something really happened, like, all I can do is run. Sometimes I feel like I'm not safe. And sometimes I feel like I would want that protection.
Okay. All right. Who's up next? Doc Navy, you got anything?
I mean, I'm listening. I do think the insurance and the continual education is a good idea. And I heard, I think it is Weezy who mentioned he was like, he doesn't have to go to war. And I'm not saying anybody has to. What I'm saying is if you have the intention that you got to carry a weapon to defend yourself, my thing is I would love to know why we're set up in a space in a world to do that. That's my thing. Go back to, I would love to go to the root of it. that you have to feel like you have to defend yourself with a weapon to shoot somebody. You know, I think it's very ignorant that whoever approached the mother-in-law over a dog with the pistol, like, why does it have to go to that extreme? Like, the older gentleman said, you know, it used to be just, you know, use your hands, use your physical capabilities. And in my mind, I was thinking, wasn't it real? At one time, used to have dance-offs, you know, dance-offs. You know, let's go back to that. Why do we have to be so violent toward each other? I'm not saying take away your amendments, right? I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. My concern is if we really look at where these laws started from, like you mentioned, we as minorities, blacks, were not a part of the Constitution, right? So it was empowering a certain group of people who had weapons. And why did they have those weapons? In my mind, in that time frame, it's the control. Because I guarantee you, if a slave got out of order, what you going to do? Shoot. You couldn't just do it on your own physical capabilities. You had to use something to intimidate them. And it's just grown since then. And I'm sad that I'm in a world that, like I said, people can carry weapons. And, yes, it is your right. It is your so-called constitutional right. But this child, Ralph, ended up having to go. They reported he ended up going to three different homes before he could even get anybody to call for help. And he's bleeding from the head. Like, to me, it's the humanity of it. I don't want to have to feel like I got to go to a movie theater and defend myself so I got to carry. I don't want – my child just told me the other day, Mommy, you can't keep anything in the banks because they had the mass shooting in the bank. And, you know, it's like that's the craziness. I don't want to even have that thought process right now. And I feel like, unfortunately, these last few years, that's what's coming out. Like, okay, well, you know, nothing is safe. The churches, the hospitals, the banks, nothing is safe anymore. So you know what? Why don't we all gun up? Why don't we all strap up? Then what? I don't agree with that. I'm not for that. I'm like I said, education, absolutely. Put some money on it, tax it, do whatever, everything. Yes, all of the above. And make the laws consistent as far as punishment. And I get it if you're saying you don't want to go that far, you know, we want to try to do preventive. Absolutely. And then my thing is get in people's heads. Start paying attention to folks because I guarantee you most of these people who did these mass shootings, well, nobody paying no attention. They didn't got bullied, and they quick to put that out. Oh, you know, they got the mental health. That's what I'm talking about. You got to get that and allow people to really feel okay with saying, hey, I'm not okay. I'm pissed off that, you know, so-and-so this said something to me at work the other day. Look, I've been there. I have been in a stressful situation where I could see if I didn't have life to lose and if I wasn't a faith-based woman, yeah, everybody. And I put it in writing because I said nobody asked me that question. They're quick to ask you if you're suicidal, but they're not quick to ask you if you're homicidal. Ask the question.
Damn.
Get in people's interaction.
Now I know what to ask you next time you come and visit.
Well, you already know it's out there. That look too.
let me respond back since my name was invoked, Beach Bum.
Go ahead.
I don't have. I just want to continue commenting. I don't have anything direct to respond to that you mentioned, but I just wanted to get another turn in here. Right, but I think it's the old Superman argument. What they say in Superman 1, does the Earth need a Superman? We have one. Does America need guns? We have them, and we have the right to hold them. So what do? We can't take them away. You know, yes, everybody should gun up, period. You know, especially, you know, for those of you who are calling for the Civil War on the same coast where – you know, I don't think there's going to be a civil war, but at the same time, I do think it's less likely that you will be in a position where you can't defend your own life if you take the time, the little bit of time it takes just to understand firearms and to be able to protect yourself. Now, I'm not saying you've got to carry if you don't want to carry it everywhere, but at the same time, you know, I think it's just as safe to carry them. You know, it's not going to jump up and bite you. And it makes, to be honest with you, it makes a lot of people calmer because you say, okay, people can be quick to fight, but
if you're in a place where you know 100% of the people are carrying, then you're going to be polite. Trust me. You're going to be a little more polite. Now, there's a lot of problems with the mass shootings and you know, children. I don't know the answers to that, but the answer cannot be just add on to these additional gun laws that continue not to do anything to help. I don't know what the answer is. I think it can be an education, but you can't tax a right. I mean, you have the right to vote. I know idiots all over the place who voted for dumbass individuals and make dumb decisions when voting. That's their prerogative. It's their right. Same thing with owning a firearm. It's your right to have one. You shouldn't have to pay an exorbitant tax or prove that you can be blindfolded and put together a pistol or something like that. It's your right to have one. If my mother-in-law had to get one or my mom had to get one, I'm probably going to get an AR-15 or a shotgun, something that's easy to use. And it may be threatening to other people, but it's usually because they're uninformed. Pistols aren't as easy to use, and they're hard to hit. So people tend to go to rifles because they're easier to use. If you wanted to be, you know, and what do they say about the AK-47? So easy a child can use it, and they do. You know, that's partly a joke, but it's true. You don't want something that's going to be difficult to learn to use. That's just going to make it more problematic for the people who are doing the right thing with these firearms. I don't know what to do about the people who are doing the wrong thing with them, but, you know, the question shouldn't be pointed toward those who are doing the right thing with guns just because there's people out there doing the wrong thing with guns. So I'll leave it there.
New York, you got anything?
Man, I can't even disagree with Weezy. I can't even disagree with Weezy. I would understand. Like, well, I would say AK-47s. Yeah, that recoil back from that. Nah, that recoil back from the AK-47 it is definitely hard to level the shit back out after the recoil. But after that, I mean, I really can't disagree with anything he said, to be honest. But I think, in my personal opinion, I mean,
go ahead, New York, my bad.
It's not even enough time. But I would just say people that own guns just need to have gun discipline, just to know when to pull the trigger and when to not. I don't think that you should pull the trigger or some kid that's knocking on your door that's lost. But that's all I got to say.
Hackle and Jackal, you got anything?
We're good, man.
All right.
No more to add.
I mean, go ahead, cuz. What was you going to say? Oh, okay.
That was me.
Oh. Well, let me give Doc Navy a chance to respond since they're in a spirit of discussion. We only got about 5 minutes left. Doc Navy, did you want to respond to any of the bullshit Weezy just said?
No, I think, you know, honestly, I guess the thing is, I'm not calling for a civil war. I'm saying that seems to be where we're heading. I mean, if you look at it, because I am going to say, Weezy, it's like you're very adamant about defending yourself. And I say again, why do you feel like you have to be in a space to defend yourself? Yes, it's a right, but there's many rights out there. I mean, okay, pops up like the abortion thing, but what I'm saying, so there's many things that are so-called written as a right. But does that mean it's correct? Does that mean it's a good thing? Just that, you know, hundreds of years ago, they say, yeah, you know, you can carry a weapon. Is that okay? Like, is that okay thing? And I still hear in your responses that it's like you're set up, you're ready to defend yourself. And I'm saying I would love for you to be in a space where you don't even have to feel that way. And yes, am I getting concerned about that? I'm getting concerned because, like I said, now it is going to these different various locations. And feeling like, well, if I was in that bank, if I had a weapon, would I have been able to shoot back? And here's another thing. It's not only just about the education. I do believe that's a good one. I believe requiring to have paid education, I agree with requiring to have paid insurance, yes, would limit some of the craziness. But it's like in that moment when you're in the bank or you're in that church or you're in a setting where somebody comes in and shooting, are you really going to pull your weapon out and shoot back? That's a real thought. When you really get in front of somebody and you have to do that, and I have been in these situations, are you going to pull the trigger? I don't want you to have to, but just like I said, to have that mindset of I got to be in a survival mode. I got to be watching my back every single minute. I got to be covering my family because something could happen. I don't want to live like that. I don't. Nope. I don't want people around me having to live like that because, like I said, it takes one bullet to kill somebody, you know, and like they say, it's not really the guns, it's the that are pulling the trigger. And you could just be, like I said, in an angst moment, it'd be the wrong thing. Boom, that person is done. They don't come back. They don't come back to life. Now, this young man, Ralph, he is a favorite child because he did get shot in the head. I don't know exactly how, where they said, but he got shot in the head and he's alive. We don't know his conditioning. We don't know if he's functional, but he's alive.
No, he's having.
You understand?
He's having right now a speech.
Okay, so there could be other things. So my thing is, my thing is start putting things in place. I don't want to just give it up and be like, well, I don't know what to do. There's nothing to do. No, it's got to be something. I like the paid education requirements. I like the, you know, insurance. And then you're like, well, it's my right. I shouldn't have to. But, yeah, guess what? One apple is spoiling the bunch. You could say multiple apples are spoiling the bunch, and that's just kind of it. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Rights or these laws can be modified. That's what we're supposed to be here. We're supposed to be progressing. So, sorry. Yes, maybe 200 years ago. It was okay. We didn't need to put this in place. But right now, I think we do. Right now, I do believe we need to step it up and give people in their mental capacity some thought. Yes, we probably do need to give background checks. But guess what? The reason you're not going to be able to do a good background check on somebody is because they have to give permission for you to go into their medical business, to their medical history.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And you got to have reports on that. And a lot of times you don't even have reports on that because we're too scared to say something like, oh, so-and-so is a little hostile, so-and-so is a little, you know, quick to snap off, that kind of thing.
I agree with you. I think the key here is to make sure that you're safe. I mean, the reason to carry is to make sure that you're safe and not to pull that at the drop of a hat, but only when you feel that threat, you know, that threat that you're about to have a problem. Right now, I mean, I'm over 70 years old, and it's been very rare that I've ever had to pull my pistol. And then the thing that is it's usually young folks that I have to deal with. But I don't pull it lightly, but I don't pull that trigger lightly. I make sure they understand what, you know, the situation that they're in. I don't carry it to kill.
Okay.
I think a lot of folks to understand.
Bingo.
You don't carry it to kill.
Bingo. That's right there. Bingo.
Hey, it's been a great discussion, but we got to end the show. Well, we only got a couple of minutes left. It's been a spirited discussion. We got real serious tonight while my wife is over here watching videos of dudes pouring shampoo on each other. Type of shit I got to deal with. it's that video where they keep pouring, like, they're at the beach and he pours shampoo on you, and you, like, you go to wash your hair and somebody's, like, pouring more shampoo on you. She's getting a kick out of this.
I would shoot a motherfucker.
But we
got to
get out of here. But we gotta get out of here. It's been a great discussion. We didn't get to half of the stuff. Fox settled with Dominion voting machines for like almost $1 billion. I really want to talk about how Clarence Thomas out here.
Yo, Clarence Thomas is out here living the life that I would lead. I wish I would have became a judge. And why do nose hairs start growing uncontrollably when you hit 40?
I went to school with that nigga.
You went to school with Clarence Thomas?
Yes, I did.
Oh, we got to talk next week. I got to know what Clarence Thomas is like.
Exactly.
I got so many questions about Clarence Thomas in school because I wasn't old enough to understand the importance of when Bush put him on the Supreme Court. I was still too young. And to see what he's become now, I just want to know.
We didn't want him.
Like, it was it one of those things? I know you're old enough.
Anita's Otis, we didn't want him.
You were old enough to understand the importance. I wasn't, baby. I know. But, so, hey. Heckling Speckle, Shake and Bake. I need y'all to call in next week. We got to talk about Clarence Thomas, but we got to get out of here because the show cuts off on us no matter what. So I give us a 2-hour time limit so I don't go all night. I got to go to work tomorrow. So Heckling Shekel. What up? Shekel and Heckle.
Heckling Jekyll. There was two crows. Cartoon crows. Matter of fact, they were also the names of my mother's dogs. There are two Dobermans.
Okay. Well, y'all got anything to say before we roll? Because we got to get out of here. We only got 2 minutes left.
No, that's all, man.
Love and happiness.
Happiness.
Make me want to do wrong when I'm about
to do right. Yeah, definitely call in next week so we can talk some more. Appreciate having y'all. Appreciate y'all coming in. DJ C. Sire, you got anything to say before we roll?
Have a great evening. Thanks for the discussion. I'm happy I had a topic.
Yay. Yeah, black hair. It took us an hour. Jack, you got anything to say before we roll?
Nothing much. I'm going to hit you up this weekend, see what you're up to, try to slide on you.
Oh, yeah, come on through, cuz. You know you're always welcome. Just hit me up. I'll be home tomorrow. Yeah, we'll talk to you. Yeah, just text me, Cass. Just text me. Doc Navy. Ah, I love having you on. You always have such great conversation. You got to call in more often, man. Stop ducking us, man. You part of this. Anything you want to say to the people before we roll?
Thank you for the reminder. Be nice to my sister. And hugs for Wheezy especially because hugs heal.
Your sister get on my goddamn nerves. You can have her. But we'll talk to them. We'll talk about that later. Wheezy, you got anything to say to the people before we roll?
No. Good show again, Beach Bum Gun. DJ C. Siren, thank you for having it. Fix those damn technical difficulties. All right, I'm out.
New York, you got a minute.
Of course. Y'all, you know I mean, hire more black women in the field. Figure, tell me, don't discriminate them or don't discriminate against them because of their hair or whatever. And then black men, don't discriminate against them. Hire them. They might be the person that overtake your company and take it to the next level. Other than that, within gun control, I tell this to the young homies that don't listen. We already know they don't listen. But if you ever got to go to a place that you feel the need to take a gun to, stay home. Stay home. If you going anywhere that you want to harbor some bad negative energy, you want to get into a fight, you want to start a fight, stay home. Other than that, you know what I mean, stay safe, drink your water, save the bees. I mean, if you want to be vegetarian, do that for your health. Health is wealth. Other than that, you know what I mean? Stay positive and stay blessed.
All right, cool. Hey, it's 420. Smoke some weed, but only if you can afford it.